walk out on that field today, ask yourself this question.
What time is it? Game time. What time is it? Game time. What time is it? Game time. What time is it? Let's go. We ready. We ready.
What is going on, everyone? What time is it?
Game time!
Who's ready?
We are!
Yeah, it's time for Poor Sports. It's your boy Jake Kelly coming at you live in studio with Jeremy Collins. It's time for episode 8, and we got Lee Kuzmich on the line all the way down from Windsor. Everyone, say what's up to the people. It's episode 8. What time is it? Let's go!
Jake's fired up.
I'm ready to go.
It's game time.
I'll tell you what. You know why I'm fired up? You know why I'm ready to go? Because football season. Oh, you thought it was back last week. No, it's getting back. What did I say? Every single second, every day, it's getting closer. And I am just, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
Do you know why I'm fired up?
Tell me.
Lee is going to come in crystal clear today.
Like what? I want to hear this.
It's kind of like this, boys. I can't wait just to hear back the audio. I didn't like listening to the podcast just because I thought I sounded so bad.
And you had some dumb takes.
Yeah, let's not forget the dumb takes.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. Touche right there. I can't believe I was just thrown out there right away. But I can't wait to talk fantasy football. We promised you it's going to be happening every week, and it's going to happen every week until fantasy football is over. We're talking it.
Oh, I just got chills. I just got chills. So, everyone, we got an action-packed show for you today. You're not going to want to miss an absolute second. But, yeah, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to it, okay? Fantasy football.
Fantasy football's here. Jake and I just had our rookie draft from the Dynasty League.
Yeah.
Jake, how did you like your draft?
I didn't have a first-round pick, unfortunately.
Why?
So.
Oh, why? Yeah, why? Let's hear why.
I made a trade, and I got the best player out of that trade, and that's all I care about. Yeah. So, highlight that for spin.
Is your player over or under 30 years old in a Dynasty League, if you could tell the people?
I know that they're going to have over 200 points this year, and that's all I care about.
Jake tried to draft LeBron James in the second round.
Honestly, okay, if LeBron was a rookie, you're telling me this guy wouldn't be the best tight end in the league?
No, I have the best tight end in the league. Zeus. Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Anyways, yeah, so we're going to get down to it. We're just going to talk some fantasy football, talk some tips, talk some strategies. Talk to me, boys. Let's hear it.
Lee, you got your startup coming up. So, Jake's team is full of quarterbacks. So, Jake's a big quarterback guy. Are you, the get one stud early on guy, or do you, take a couple late round dart throws?
Yeah, so I think, I don't like taking quarterbacks early. And I just think just because, especially the Patrick Mahomes and the Andrew Luck's been going when I've been doing mock drafts pretty early. And I just think the guys who are available in the top four rounds, once you get by them, I feel like there's kind of a steady decrease, a teardrop in the sense where I think
down your face, by a teardrop.
Yeah. Teardrop. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know. It's okay. It's wordplay.
Oh, okay. And then, because as soon as you get into the round where, you're starting to pick, Tyler Lockett, Kenny Golladay, Carson, Godwin, all those guys, these are all, number twos who could potentially break out. And I that's where I like to take a quarterback. So fifth round, fifth, sixth rounds where I know I'm going to take a first quarterback.
Interesting. And I think that's a little early, too.
Yeah, you can. But in this league that's coming up, we're playing two quarterback leagues.
Oh yeah, okay.
So you're gonna need to lock in a guy, right? You're gonna need to lock in a guy in a two quarterback league, right? Because those guys are gonna go. And if you take three quarterbacks, because you'll need a bye week quarterback, you do that 3 times 12, right? You're not gonna have every starting quarterback, so you need quarterbacks, right?
So in a league like that, I would try and get two quarterbacks in the first five rounds. But in just a one quarterback league, I'm going to wait till the 12th or 13th round, and then I go for some. This is the guy who I want in redraft leagues just because his floor is so high. Lamar Jackson, what do you guys think about him this year? I know he can't really throw the ball too well, but he has some good tight ends there, and he's gonna break the rushing record for quarterbacks in the season.
Yeah, did you not see John Harbaugh, what he said today? He
said take the over or something on the...
Yeah, it's 138 is what Cam Newton did when he broke it, and he said, yeah, take the over on it. Yeah, they're gonna run wild.
Didn't their owner say that he wasn't going to? Like, that's not how they were going to play.
So, I think last season he averaged something like 17 or 18 rushes a game when he was playing. And then the record would be just under 140. So, he'd have to, like, do about 10.
140
attempts in a year.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I thought for a second you were saying 140 yards a game. I was like, no. What in what world? Where was I for this? But no, obviously not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
now when you're talking, you said floor, right? You like the floor, or you like the ceiling on him? That's
what you're saying. Like the floor. No, I like the floor because he's always going to have at least 10 points from rushing.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about Kyler Murray in that same stance then?
I think Kyler Murray's going way earlier than him. And I like Lamar Jackson
for that reason that he's going later.
Yeah.
So you can.
Where did he go in your rookie draft first?
Kyler Murray.
He was in the first round, I believe.
Like,
or early second.
No, he was like between pick 8 and 12. I forget where.
Okay.
So, wow. Oh, because you guys played one quarterback leagues, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray should have been the first rookie off your board in their dynasty.
Yeah. Like, yeah, if we did a dynasty draft, it would have been like every quarterback imaginable before. Like, the only guy that you would have fit in there would have been Josh Jacobs, but other than that, just would have been quarterbacks.
We didn't have a second quarterback taken until the last pick, I believe, of our draft. Or, like, the last round.
Sorry, what's the guy out of Washington? What's his name?
Haskins.
Right. Yeah, he went...
He went to Cam in the fourth round?
Yeah, I don't think it was the last pick, but it was the fourth round, yeah. Yeah.
That's fair. So, yeah, Lamar Jackson. Okay, well, Jake, give me a quarterback. Where do you go quarterback if you had to pick?
Well, in the fantasy draft last year, I just was trolling, and I took Tom Brady in, like, the third round, which is hysterical. Obviously, I wouldn't do that normally, but I was having a good time.
So you did this for a dynasty draft? You took Tom Brady in the third round?
Yeah, but it's also because he won me my league last year, so I just had this feeling of, like, you know, I felt... I seriously was, like, trolling, but, yeah, I would normally never take them that high. What I did do in the dynasty draft last year was I took a number of quarterbacks. Like, I think I had five or six on my roster at one time.
And a couple kickers.
I didn't take kickers. Come on. But I took five or six because I knew that guys were just going to try to take those guys last pick, right? Or, like, in that last round. So, and in my opinion on it was, it doesn't really matter to me if I take a third round running back or a running back or a receiver. Who's going to be on my bench probably 15 weeks out of 16.
So in the third round, you're drafting a running back who's going to be on your bench for 15
weeks. No. You're missing what I'm saying. The third round Tom Brady pick was a troll. It was a joke. Like, I still did it, but it was that's not normal. That's not usually what I would do if I was to do it again this year, right? It was just,
okay.
But then what I ended up doing was near the end, rather than like taking a running back, taking wide receivers or tight ends who I knew weren't going to get off my bench. I was happy with my starting and even then my first two or three guys off the bench. I went, no, I'm going to take these quarterbacks that these guys, I know that these guys want. Or they're going to be like, are you serious? Like, and I also know two of the guys I'm playing with, and I know that one of them is a Jets fan. Who did I take? Sam Darnold. Other guy's a huge Raiders fan. Who did I take?
Derek Carr.
And I just leveraged it, right? And I got, for Derek Carr, I got Josh Gordon, who I was not going to get in that pick when I took Derek Carr. Do you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, so, you do get that.
So using that and also knowing that, yeah, team guys will, or they'll... Even if they don't want to make a trade with me, well, then they're going to have to pick someone up off waiver, and you just never know what you're getting off the waiver wire. So,
because you got to play the matchups and et cetera.
Exactly, and so it was just a strategy that I took, and I, like I said, I think I took five or six, and I had.
And where did you finish in your league last year?
I made the playoffs. I lost in the first round.
Yeah, so that's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. I squeaked in, but I still made the playoffs. Right? It's more than some people can say.
Because the worst case scenario there is you do that, you finish dead last, and you're just like, that was a terrible start for a dynasty league.
For sure. Well, and also, my quarterbacks now are, and it's actually pretty funny, I've got old Tom Brady, like middle Cam Newton, and then super young with Sam Darnold. So it's, I feel like I'm set up decently well for a dynasty in terms of that position. I can play matchups. I think Darnold's going to have a decent year. I don't know if he'll... Of course, there's going to be some weeks when he outscores.
Bell says he's going to take 500 touches.
Yeah, and you never know with Adam Gase. Like, look what he did with Miami. Like, he's not an offense guy, right? He's not an offensive coach.
Who knows? Still, he's 22. Yeah. Right? So
he's young.
He'll be fine, I think, for the long haul.
Okay, so the other position that's kind of interesting in fantasy drafts right now is tight end, because there's a clear top tier, and then
clear top three, for
clear
sure.
top three, and then
which is who?
Kittle, Kelsey, Ertz.
Yeah,
and then you got, I think, Hunter Henry right behind them.
I don't think Hunter Henry's the fourth.
I think, what is it, Ebron?
I don't think it's Eric Ebron either.
He's gonna go with Tampa Bay Buck.
I think that offense is going to score all over the place, and Winston loves his tight ends, and he's been working with O.J. Howard all year.
Are you going to say who I think you're going to say?
He already said it, O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard. He's a third year. He's a monster. I don't even think people would disagree with me. I bet you I'm in a very favorable. Most drafts, O.J. Howard goes fourth before Hunter Henry.
I just thought that Jeremy was going to go way off the board and try to say that Rob Gronkowski is going to come back.
No.
I thought you were coming at me. And I was
No. I would just, because Jeremy.
I had Hunter Henry and Lee had OJ. Yeah.
For sure.
You have Hunter. I think Evan Engram could probably be better.
Yeah, I might say, but like Hunter Henry's the interesting one, right? Like he's the one that's going to fluctuate. There's a clear three. And like, do you want one of those top three in redraft, or do you wait and just kind of stream them from week to week?
I don't know.
Go ahead, Jake.
I think that having a good tight end is so important, because like if you can have a tight end that seriously week in week out gives you 15 points, you can find a lot of wide receivers and a lot of running backs that can do that for you. You can stream them. You can find that. If you can find it's like sometimes if you can get a tight end that gets you like 6 points, you're like, that was a big week for me if you don't have one, right? And I think it's important.
Yeah, so last season I acquired Kelsey at our deadline, and I realized from that point on, when my tight end scoring 10 or sometimes 15 points more than my opponent's, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
That's like the difference of like...
That's huge.
Having a whole different... another running back on your... Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's nuts.
So the thing that goes there, though, is like... So you, now at this point, Jake, are you saying that you want to take one of the big three? Because I think once you get past this big three, and even George Kittle, like, had moments of greatness, but he was a rookie last year, right? Like, you don't know what you're going to get out of his second year. Is it... Once you get by Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz... Is it worth to go like O.J. Howard, Ingram, Henry, Njoku?
No, TJ I don't want Hawkinson. Any of those.
I don't want any of these guys. Who do you want?
I want Vance for free.
Vance McDonald, sure. I like Vance McDonald, too.
Yeah, he's good. Jared Cook in New Orleans, like he's out
That's
there now.
That
might not be bad. And if healthy, Jordan Reed.
Yeah, Jordan Reed's supposedly been balling out.
Right?
How many times have we heard that about Jordan Reed?
Anytime he's on the field, it's just he's not on the field.
He's not on the field.
Missing bones in his feet and stuff.
2 years ago, and this was actually a strategy that you gave to me, Jeremy. You said, well, there's the idea that you take two top tight ends, which you control the market then, and you use one of them as your flex and one of them as your tight end. I tried that with Jordan Reed and Rob Gronkowski. It unfortunately just didn't work out with Jordan Reed, and whatever, things happen. I still won the league, shout out, but I don't think it's a terrible strategy if you can get like one of those top three and then one of the next top three after that, right?
Like a three and a six or something.
Well, realistically, like a one and a five. Yeah. I don't know if you'd want to do it for a three and a six, but then it's just because if you have them, other people don't.
You have to know your league to do that, though. You have to know hope there's lots of trading and like.
Yep.
Because like then you can dangle the carrot, right?
For sure.
Okay. Last question. I'll say to you guys quickly. Yep. So right now in most drafts, there's a set four that's going 1, 2, 3, 4. Like not in what order, but there's four guys, and it's Kamara, Elliott, McCaffrey, Barkley. What do you guys do in that order? Where do you put them?
Sorry, can you just say that again, please?
It's Kamara.
I have to see that.
So it's Alvin Kamara from New Orleans, yep. Zeke from Dallas, and McCaffrey from Carolina, and Barkley from the Giants.
So
let's say you had to rank them, where are you ranking them?
Zeke's one, Saquon's two.
For Dynasty or just for one-off
redraft?
Leagues?
Redraft.
Let's go one-off half-point PPR so everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
So I'd go Zeke, Saquon, Kamara, McCaffrey.
I go Barkley, Zeke, McCaffrey, because he catches a lot of passes, Kamara.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I could probably just say any combination, and I'd have a fair enough, I'd have a good argument. I probably would go. Well, it depends on what happens with this whole Zeke thing.
He's coming back. He has to play. He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So then Zeke Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara. Zeke, Barkley, Kamara, McCaffrey, I think. Kamara's just got so much, like, big game potential. Like 35.
Yeah, I always just get worried, and he proved us wrong last year, is, like, whenever they bring in a power back, right? Like, I always just get worried he's not going to get touchdowns, and then he just got a bajillion touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
I think McCaffrey's going to break this year. He was on the field way too much last year, and I don't see him being the in-between-the-tackles guy, like, for two seasons in a row and not breaking.
Fair enough. Fair. Hard to say, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to predict anything.
Yeah, you can't predict it. That's just, like, my gut feeling.
That's
not my head. That's my gut.
Yeah, sure.
And that's why you take Zeke and Barkley one, too, right? Because, like, that's the best predicting if they're healthy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing with Barkley, too, especially with how awful their quarterbacks are, how many 5-yard checkdowns did he catch?
Not even five yards.
Right out of the backfield. Like, yeah. Literally dumb passes.
It was that was a running play, but he still gets a point, right?
Half a point, sure.
But yeah. Yeah. So
still
add
up, right?
Of course they do.
And they don't have any wide receivers right now. Golden Tate, 4-game suspension. Corey Coleman, torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
And Sterling Shepard hurt his thumb.
He'll be back. Yeah. He'll get back for game one. But I get what you mean. Like, they have nobody on that team.
He's going to face 11 man boxes.
Is his brother Ross Shepard's the number one? Is he there? Are they brothers?
I don't know.
So this
that'd
is
be cool.
This is not a sorry. This is not a fantasy question because I doubt anyone picks these two in fantasy. But who is the New York Giants starting quarterback? As of week three,
Eli Manning.
Yeah, still Eli Manning. If you would have said like week seven, nine, yeah. I could have gone Daniel Jones.
Over under Daniel Jones games played. Well, where are you setting that line?
8.5.
You're saying that many.
Yeah.
You're saying that many.
Well, that's just where he's setting, right?
Like, you're not going back to him. You're not going back to Eli once you bench him.
Yep. That's right.
I'll be aggressive. I don't see Buddy starting more than
Buddy. Who's Buddy?
4.5 games.
Jake's just got a thing out for Duke guys. I know.
That's funny.
Jake secretly likes Ole Miss.
All right. Yeah. All right, friends, we're going to wrap it up. But coming up next, we got some rapid fire. You're going to want to stay tuned for that because we're going to be coming in hot and heavy. Bang, bang. Coming up next on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Poor Sports Podcast. So coming up now, we have Rapid Fire. So in case you weren't listening last week, it's pretty similar to what you would expect it to be. We just have a couple of topics lined up, and we're just going to go in on them, kind of bang, 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 give our thoughts on them, and then we're just going to move on real quick. So I'll kind of leave the people wanting a little bit more. It's kind of my specialty, right?
Yeah. I guess you could... Jake's really good in short periods of time. It's like when I hang out with him, I only want to hang out with him for like an hour. The length of the podcast.
We all know that's not true. All right, people. So we're going to get started here right off the top. So we're going to go in NHL offseason. Clearly still all the offseason. Do we have a winner and a loser? So we're each going to give one of each. Jeremy Collins, start us off. Offseason winner, offseason loser.
The New Jersey Devils are my offseason winner. Jack Hughes, PK Subban, and now Nikita Gusev. And not that I'm a huge fan of him, but I think he will be good at a depth role. Wayne Simmonds. They've added a whole bunch of skill. And this is the reason why. They had cap space. They weaponized their cap space. So every team always says, the cap's going to go up. The cap's going to go up. But then there's those teams that have to squish out the good players. And if you have $25 million in cap space, you're going to get them for pennies. The New Jersey Devils are my clear winner. Lee?
I'm going into the Central. Not my team, though. I'm going with the Dallas Stars. I think the Dallas Stars... were the winners. I think they went out there. I thought the signing of Joe Pavelski was really good. They got Corey Perry for nothing just to throw on their late lines. They kept all the guys they needed to keep, and I think they're loaded up, and they could definitely be talked about as the favorites for the Central now.
Sure, I'm going to go with the New York Rangers. I just love the big market of it, big marketness of it, if that's even a word. Adding Panarin, Trumba, those are two big, big names.
And Capo they got in the draft, right?
And Capo in the draft, of course. So that's a good solid haul in the offseason. So I'm going to go with the New York Rangers.
That state improved a lot with Buffalo's defense, New Jersey, and New York. They did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Loser, Lee, let's start with you.
I'm going with the Columbus Blue Jackets. They lost everybody. It's just that simple. Like, they didn't. I know they went all out for it, and there was talks that they weren't going to be able to sign everybody, but, like, when you're even losing Ryan Zingle, like, I think they're going to be bad.
Yeah, that's fair. Jake?
I'm going with the Montreal Canadiens.
The Habitants.
Sorry, let me find my notes here real quick. You go.
Okay, I got the Anaheim Ducks. I don't understand. This kind of piggybacks on Lee's best with being the Dallas Stars. They bought out Corey Perry, but then didn't do anything with the cap space. They brought in Michael Delzato and Nicholas Deslauriers. The team wasn't great offensively last year. John Gibson, he's going to get pelted with shots this upcoming
year.
And
speaking about teams that no one's going to watch.
All right, I'm good to go. So for them losing Andrew Shaw, Jordy Benn, Antti Niemi, and then was it Deslauriers?
Yeah, the guy that Anaheim signed for doesn't matter.
Yeah, but nothing. It just didn't seem like Montreal. They lost like a kind of a core there. Their defense, I think, didn't improve. Yeah, so I'm going with the Montreal Canadiens.
And they got shut out on Aho with the offer sheet. He kind of used them, and then Matt Duchene was supposed to be this big prize fish. So now they've struck out on John Tavares. They didn't get him even an interview last year. And then Sebastian Aho and Matt Duchene. Their center depth is awful.
However, I will say this about the Canadiens, that last year you said that they were... I think the quote that you said to me was, you don't think they'll even have a 20-goal score. And they obviously did.
Yeah.
It was so they came out, they were a lot better than they were supposed to be last year. Who knows what's going to happen this year.
Yep.
Anyways, moving on. Staying with hockey, Andre Vasilevsky, my boy, Andre Vasilevsky. They rolled up the Brinks truck, signed him for 7 years, $60 million, I believe.
More, it had been more than that. I think 7 years, 9.5 years, or 8 years, 9.5 years.
I think it's 8, 9.5.
Yeah, 8, 9.5. Oh, sorry. Yeah, my numbers are off. Sorry.
So, like, what's that? 76.
Yeah.
That's crazy. For a goal. Don't pay goalies. Stop paying goalies.
Why?
Because there's no correlation in between how much you pay them and how they perform from year to year.
Shout out Jordan Binnington.
it's just a dice roll. It's completely random. Get a better system in front of them. Pay your goalie like under $5.5 million. If like he's a starter, there's 20 guys that are the same goalie in the NHL. And yes, Vasilevsky's probably a top five goalie, but
I think top three, like top three goalie.
Yes, this past year he was a top three goalie, but I'm not going to bet on it next year being top three. I'll give him top five. I love like Gibson's the best goalie in the league in my opinion.
Okay,
but I still wouldn't pay him more than seven. This 9.5, that's nuts, especially when they still have to sign Braden Point. I think so, like, after next year, because that's when the contract kicks in, they'll have $18 million to sign 9 players, and one of those players is Braden Point, who's going to get at least 9.
All right.
They'll move him. I think they move him.
Lee, what do you think about Vazzy?
I like it. I like getting a... It's just like a staple, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's like the short and sweet answer. I think it's a staple to a team to sign a goalie like that. It maybe not the right team to be signing a guy for that much money because what Jeremy just said, yeah. But
he also won the Vezina. He just won the Vezina. I think optics too, especially like you're always in Florida. You're always trying to sell tickets or at least have people stay engaged.
Tampa hasn't had that issue in a while.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I just think if your guy wins the Vezina and you had a great regular season and whatever, but. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Anyways, I'm not going to cry tears about it like I'm Jeremy Lin. So, Jeremy Lin, if you didn't see this, Jeremy Lin went on, and I'm sure it was getting translated into, I'm assuming, Cantonese. So, obviously, he has a massive following in China. And pretty much saying that, you know, he's crying everyone a river.
Yeah, the NBA doesn't want
up,
me.
He's giving up on me. You think you've hit rock bottom, and then you just hit rock bottom again. So, do we have any thoughts on this?
He went to he's a Harvard graduate, got paid $65 million because of 2 good weeks in the NBA, and he's an NBA champion. I'm sorry, Jeremy Lin. Like, grow up. You have a great life.
Yeah.
Go get a real job if you need to, like everyone else.
Yeah, Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, I got really nothing more than that to say. It's like there's tons of other guys who are also out there in the same situation. I don't really care about Jeremy Lin crying about it.
Yeah, fair enough. I was surprised whenever they signed him that he didn't get more spin. And
he blew it. He couldn't hit a three to save his life when they originally signed him.
Yeah, but like yeah, and so I do feel. But I want to say I feel bad because of, you know, whatever, the money thing. Yeah, whatever. You got a good life. You played in the NBA. But it's just, he was always a feel-good story. And the fact that, you know, he obviously has that huge following over there. You know, you're allowed to be upset if you can't get a job and that's what you want to do.
I like that it kind of came full circle in his career. How, like, Lin Sanity kind of started in Toronto and then sure. kind of ended in Toronto.
It hit its peak in Toronto, yeah. That's for sure. When he hit that, yeah. that three to win it, for sure. Anyways, sticking with basketball and Toronto, there's been talk that Vince Carter would be open to coming back to Toronto. What? First of all, how would we feel about that, gentlemen? Lee, start us off.
Oh, I love it. Bring him back.
No.
Bring him back. Let him. Yeah, I'm going the other way. Bring him back. The guy's still, as much as you guys hate it, he's still probably the biggest Raptor, maybe other than Kawhi now, even though it's only been 1 year, to ever put on the jersey. And I say bring him back. Let him retire there.
Over my dead body.
No, I just knew you guys were going to hate on it so no much. Way. I had to take the other way.
I love how people put on these like cute little nostalgic like glasses whenever it comes to it. This guy was whispering other teams are plays while he was in uniform, and you want to bring him back because he was good at dunking? Enough. The most pivotal game in Raptors franchise history prior to this year, and this guy went to his graduation before. I've graduated from university, no flex, literally, it's not one. All I'm trying to say is I've been to a graduation ceremony before. There's always another one. You don't have to go to your June graduation. You can go to September. There's always going to be another one. It's absolutely pathetic, the idea of bringing this guy back. Never. Never, never, never.
I was always Vinsane for Vinsanity. And now, but after that video he posted, Jake's kind of persuaded me that, like, we don't need him.
No.
He's, like, playing, like, he's trying to be a puppeteer, play with the Raptors fans' feelings and emotions. Like, oh, they have to want me, blah, 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 blah. Shut up.
Just shut up. Just enough. I'm over. I'm done. I'm done.
He's had chances before to come back and chose not to.
Yeah.
I'm all right if he wants to go and play for the Atlanta Hawks again, stink it up some more, and then after that season, he can sign a one-day deal and then retire as a Raptor.
I'd still be pissed off about that. And yeah, and one last thing, and then we'll get off Vince Carter, but I'm obviously heated. Do you remember whenever they played us, and I forget what even the scoring monument was, but it was like to move up another rank or something like that, and they were losing by like 15 points, and he was just trying over and over and over and over to do against the Raptors, because like, that'd be so cool. No, it really wasn't.
No.
It really wasn't. Enough. Moving on. Ezekiel Elliott, someone else, take over.
Cabo.
He needs to go on vacation. Lee, what do you think about Ezekiel Elliott and what Jerry Jones said?
I think it shows. So Jerry Jones says, like, you don't need one, right? Like, that's what he said. It was more or less like I have it right here. You don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. Wrong. I think he's wrong. And I think, look at the Cowboys over the last little bit. They've always been able to get somewhere and then struggle in the playoffs because the running game all of a sudden stops. And I think they need him. And I think, but the thing is, running backs are so replaceable, right? That's just, that's the problem. But my final thing on it is, like, they took a first round hit on a running back, right? Like, I feel like they have to, like, when you invest that much, when running backs go in the fourth round, I think they both want to be on the same team, like, are on the same page. They just got to get there.
Over under 2.5 of these three players being Dallas Cowboys next year: Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, and Ezekiel Elliott.
I'll take the over. I think the over. I think all three of them are back. I think they'll sign them. But I don't know. Depends on what happens this year.
But it also just shows that Jerry Jones isn't in charge anymore, right? Like, it's his son that's in charge of contracts. So, like, he can say all he wants, but...
Well, didn't famously, like, his son have to, like, talk him off the ledge of taking Johnny Manziel? Yeah. So, like, that was almost like... And you know, at that point, Jerry must have, like, listened and went, like, all right, maybe you're right.
I love Jerry, though, because, like...
Oh, yeah.
If I won, like, $1 billion, or I think they're valued at $5 billion now, but I'd try to buy a professional sports team, and I'm naming myself general manager for sure. Mm-hmm. He's a legend. But, yeah, Zeke, he's going to play because he's only in his third year, so he doesn't, like, accrue a season unless he plays this whole season... Four season or something. Like, the whole Melvin Gordon has a leg to stand on with his holdout.
So, moving on, let's talk about Melvin Gordon then.
So, Melvin Gordon, he's holding out right now, and he doesn't have to come back to accrue this year, because after you played like three full seasons or something, like, your contract will just keep going.
Okay.
It's really weird. Like, that's what my understanding of the CBA. So, I don't think Melvin Gordon's going to come play, and I think that's a bad look on him, because he's really good. He's not irreplaceable. I think Zeke's irreplaceable. Melvin Gordon is replaceable.
Okay. Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what Jeremy just said there. I think he has to come back. I think, like, I understand he's a great running back, but he's also a year older than Zeke, right? And, like, as time tells, like, running backs get a lot more fragile the older they get. There's only a couple exceptions, right? But everybody starts it, and you can find other running backs, like, they're already looking at Austin Eckler, and, like, he's already looking good in training camp.
Justin Jackson.
Yeah, and what Melvin Gordon needed to do is Austin Eckler to forget how to play football.
Yeah, I get all that stuff, and I get that running backs are replaceable. James Conner coming in replacing Le'Veon Bell. But also, if you are in Melvin Gordon's position and you don't want to come back or you want to get paid and you do want to follow that Le'Veon Bell school of thought, like, am I wrong in thinking that Le'Veon Bell he's gonna make more money than if he would have played? Like, if he would have got franchised last year, yeah, and then got hurt, yeah, he's gonna make more money.
You said it last segment. We can't predict injuries.
Of course not, but neither can he. Neither can he.
So I'm gonna say that, like,
who do you think was a better player at this point in time, Le'Veon Bell or Melvin Gordon?
Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, so right. I think all the NFL owners right now are watching Le'Veon Bell and wanting him to fail this season. Because if he comes out and sets the world on fire, the running backs are going to be like, oh, I can take a year off, get a longer-term payday, and do that. Then you're going to see a lot more running backs doing that.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Moving on, we're going to talk... quick blip on this. The Clippers, Steve Ballmer came out and was like, and wanted to talk about rebranding, or he said he's open to the idea of rebranding and something along the lines of, you know, when you've done what we've done, pretty much just trying to pump his chest. And I think also, you know, they are getting a lot of, they're getting a lot of media and so on in LA right now. And so to even, like, add on to that, I think it's interesting. I don't know if we've ever seen a team change their logo, like, in our lives, have we?
Change their
name.
Yeah. No, not
maybe,
like,
Charlotte.
The Bobcats. Yeah, big four, that's all that I can think of. Right? So yeah. I think that'd be pretty big for the
Los Angeles Claws.
The Los Angeles Traders is what it should be. So I don't know. I just think it'd be interesting. I think they would sell a load of jerseys and so on, of course. And I think that also the Clippers just have that bad taste. When you say the Clippers, you just kind of think of a crappy organization. You think of...
the dainty white logo.
Yeah, and what was their old owner's name, the racist guy? Everyone knows who we're talking about. And, yeah. And you know, it just... Sterling. And it just gets rid of... It almost just washes their hands of... of the whole Donald Sterling era. So
Donald Sterling, Scott Sterling's that guy, the guy that's in the penalty kick video where he just kept hitting the face. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like,
I know.
Facebook.
Yeah, I do.
Scott Sterling just gets smacked in the face. The horn.
Anyway, sorry. Did you want to touch on that, Lee?
I was just going to say, like, I think the Clippers logo is one of the worst logos in the league. I'd be completely down if they changed it. It's just such a boring logo.
What's a Clipper? And what is that?
Nail Clipper?
Does anyone know why? Did they move from somewhere? Oh, they were the San Diego Clippers, I think. But still, I don't know what a Clipper was ever supposed to be. But
yeah.
Anyways, moving on. This is the last one. And this is a controversial one. We posted about this next topic on our Instagram, and we got some people coming back at us saying, are you serious? You guys are a sports podcast. Sports. You're going to talk about Fortnite? So, if you haven't seen, there was the Fortnite World Championship or whatever they want to call it.
And Fortnite World Cup.
Whatever. And some kid, like, what was he, 16, made $3 million. The, like, fifth place kid was 13, made $900K.
It was nuts. Just,
I don't even know. What do we think?
So, everyone was hitting up the Instagram, poor_sports. You can toss it a follow there. That they're saying, this isn't a sport, or is it a sport? What do you guys think? Blah, 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 blah. They're called esports. So, if they're going to brand themselves as esports, then I will let them go be a sport. I don't care. It's a competition. I'm in for competitions. It was in a sporting stadium. Did you see how much it was sold out? It was nuts.
Concerts are in sporting stadiums.
Yeah, I'm just saying there was like a huge want for it. Like, and I'm just saying like I'm saying my thought is esports, they can name themselves whatever they want. If they don't want to be a sport, they don't have to be a sport. But they're trying to like label themselves as esports, so that's fine. But I'm just saying it's kind of cool seeing how many people were there.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I had someone say, it's like, hey, like, do you consider chess a sport, right? And like saying like it's like a mind game, that's what they consider video games, right? It's like all in the mind. And my thing is, especially with how the Olympics are like evolving, where the host country can pick up to four new sports, I think we're definitely going towards a way where we're gonna see esports in the Olympics. Would you not agree? Look at the numbers. Like the numbers this week don't lie.
Before 2030.
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah,
I think it'll eventually happen.
But like just this weekend alone, the final couple games, there was 2 million people streaming the thing. There's 2 million people go into it. Right, the place is packed in New York where it was, and I think it's definitely on the way up. And it's just like it's kind of like what the people want to watch right now. Right, like you see like. Baseball's on its like way down right now, and that's just because it's this people younger audience find this way more exciting.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yep.
I just got like we're talking about video game sports. What was like your go to sports video? Like Lee, I'm pretty sure you're a FIFA guy, right?
Yeah.
Jake, you're not too much of a video.
I was never a huge video game guy, but funny enough, I had two. There was NBA Slam or whatever NBA Jam. Two, I think, was the one that I got. And then I was actually MLB because you could, like, do, like, the dynasty mode or whatever.
Where, so
you
the
could,
road like, to the show where you
I don't know. I think it was, like, too old. I think it was, like, 2K, I don't know, 5 or something.
Yeah, where you could be, like, in the manager's room and, like, walk around and stuff like that. Is that
I don't even know. But it was, like, owner mode or something like that. And I just loved, like, building my franchise. Yeah. But I don't know. So we'll toss two things up on our Instagram. We'll toss one, a poll. Is that Fortnite competition?
Should esports be considered a sport?
Sport for one, and then two. Then we'll ask what was your go to game growing up? Okay. Anyways, we're gonna wrap up there. Coming up next, I am hot about what the Jays did with Marcus Stroman. Stay tuned to Poor Sports. Poor Sports.
This is the Major League debut for Marcus Stroman. And it's got to be a great moment for Marcus Stroman. Strike three call. He strikes out Jason Nix with a heater. Out in the Blue Jays win. Marcus Stroman gets his first big league win. His first home start of the 2015 season. Stroman threw 7 innings here in his first start at Rogers Center.
Stroman strands the two-out single. Stroman needs
a salute from Marcus Stroman.
Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed.
And he has taken the lead in the majors with 2 CGs.
We'll let the crowd take it from there.
Marcus Stroman is a Gold Glove winning fielding pitcher.
You betcha. And from the Toronto Blue Jays, Marcus Stroman. 100 pitches, 7 innings. The crowd recognizing him, some standing behind the dugout as he makes his way off the field.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Poor Sports. There was some pretty big news in the Toronto Major League world, at least. Marcus Stroman got traded from your Toronto Blue Jays to the New York Mets, and I'm going to say something right now. I'm pissed off about it, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, it's not the trade deadline yet. You had the opportunity to at least control the market so much better than what you did. You jumped the gun on this for absolutely no reason. If you were going to trade him, you didn't have to do it this early. You could have waited for something else to go. If you were really that concerned about getting the Mets' fourth and sixth best prospects for him, I guarantee you could have found something else out there at the deadline, at least from a contender. On that line... To a contender, like, say, I don't know, the Atlanta Braves. Now there's rumors out there that the Blue Jays weren't willing to do any business with the Atlanta Braves because there's some sort of internal rift in management between them and Alex Anthopoulos. Sorry, Shapiro. Alex Anthopoulos is the only GM in the last, 25 years to ever do anything for this franchise. If there is a rift between you and him, guess what? I don't care. Do your damn job and make the best trade for this franchise. And one more thing. If you were going to trade him to the Yankees, I don't want to hear about this in the division argument, okay? He's done enough for this franchise. You trade him to a contender, in my opinion. If you can get a better package, don't worry about in the division. Because guess what? We're not going to be contending in the division at any rate. And finally, the last thing. What is with Toronto sports teams and having this DeMar DeRozan syndrome where we have amazing young talent? I know how it worked out with DeMar. I get it. But we have this amazing, young, team-controlled talent that we just cannot wait to trade. Players who want to be here that we just cannot wait to trade. I don't understand. There wasn't a reason to trade him. He's a good enough player, and to trade him this early is an absolute joke. Who's next?
Go ahead, Jer.
You done there, Jake?
I'm done.
Okay, so that was interesting. Stroman, I don't mind the trade. They got two pretty good prospects. I don't really like the lefty, the 24-year-old. But the kid...
Still, it's the Mets 4 and 6, right?
Well, yeah.
Good system they have.
But the 18-year-old guy, the sky's the limit on him. I really like him. And yes, I was a little shocked when he didn't go to the Yankees. He went to the Mets, but they weren't willing to give up their number one. The Jays were only interested in one pitcher from them, and the Yankees weren't sending him back for a year and a half of Stroman. I do kind of agree with Jake now that, like, these beloved players in Toronto we've gotten rid of. So now, in the last 2 months, it's now, or like in the last calendar year or so,
yeah.
It's DeRozan, it's Kadri, and then now it's Stroman. They all wanted to be here, and you got rid of them. Now, the DeRozan trade did work out, and sometimes it's going to be all right. And this is how you do a rebuild. You got to get rid of these guys because Stroman's going to get $20-25 million, and the Jays probably weren't in a position to sign him to that at that point. And we still don't know. Like, I didn't like that we had to send cash with Stroman to the Mets. That was nuts.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
But I also think this whole internal rift thing between the Braves and the Blue Jays, Shapiro and Atkins shouldn't be angry. And Anthopoulos is the reason they're there because he left. Right?
Yeah. Unless there's something that's happened that we don't know about. The Braves have the second best farm system. What? I just don't get it. It checks all your boxes. Unless they just...
I think it's overblown. I bet you that Anthopoulos acquires a Jay before the end of the deadline.
Interesting.
That's my bet for this week.
Lee, what do you think?
I can't believe we played that intro video and I had to listen to stupid Buck Martinez talking. God, I hate him. I think he might be the worst announcer in baseball, and I'm going out on a limb saying it. He is terrible. He makes Jays games unwatchable. But I'm always going to be on the other side of the spectrum here because I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan. We trade everybody, right? Like, everybody goes.
Yeah, I heard you guys are going to trade Sogard.
Hopefully. We had no spot for him to trade anyways. Like, I didn't even understand why we acquired him. It was a weird transaction to even go. But I guess it's just because he can play everywhere. But I think what happens in this Stroman, the thing that annoys me the most about the Blue Jays is there was no need to rebuild when Atkins and Shapiro took over. Like they came in and just started dumping guys left, right, and center, and it was like, why? They just had lost in the second round of the playoffs that year to Kansas City, was it?
Right? No, wasn't that the year that they made it to the
That was the year that they beat Baltimore in the wild card, right? Edwin walked it off.
And then they beat Texas.
They won the next series and then lost the next series. Yeah. Right?
So they went to the AL finals the year prior. Yeah,
I think so.
But regardless, like I get losing Jose Bautista. He was on the wrong side of the age, and like he was a straight strikeout home run guy, right? But there was no need to lose Edwin. He wanted to stay. And then there was no need to lose Josh Donaldson. He also wanted to stay. And the thing is like that's where I agree with you, Jake. It's like these guys want to stay. Why do you dish them out? Like you could have kept this going. Like Vlad Guerrero wasn't going anywhere, right? Like just think if they would have re-signed like just a couple guys here and a couple guys there, where they could have stayed and you could have brought in Vlad, who has played first base, right? He can DH
absolutely,
right? And then now it's like you're literally. Like as a franchise, like how are people gonna get themselves to go to a Buffalo Bisons game in Toronto? Because that's pretty much what you're seeing now, right? Yeah. Like their starting rotation is Aaron Sanchez and who cares? Who knows them? I don't know any of those guys.
I will say alternatively, just to look at the Stroman side from the Mets' point of view, I get that there is talk about them trading Thor, trading Wheeler, but if I'm them, I don't know if I would.
Like, hey, that's a pretty nice rotation.
That's arguably the best rotation in the NL.
They're just replacing Wheeler. Wheeler's gone at the end of the season.
Best rotation in the NL, I'll fight just because I think how good the Dodgers.
And the Dodgers. And you're totally justified in wanting to fight it. Absolutely. That's not really where I want to go. But
they upgrade. They upgrade, right?
100%.
That's a definite upgrade. And you might be able to fight, but I would definitely easily put them in top three.
So,
right?
Us being Jays and Rays fans here. Did you guys hear the little interesting tidbit on like that the audio just happened to pick up from one of the dugouts? Still doesn't know which dugout it was from, but it was a player conversation on the bench, and it said they were talking about 4 or 5 years down the line, and one guy goes, "I'll be traded by then."
For the
it did they we don't it would just oh, yeah
interesting
yeah so like both teams like
that, well that, how management treats both sides of the team, it could be either or perfect two teams. Perfect two teams to be there when that audio gets picked up.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
And did you see Stroman's tirade after the game?
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't see it, but can you enlighten me?
So Stroman got word of the trade after the game. The reporters weren't welcome into the locker room as they were usually. And then just loud screaming and throwing things around.
Yeah, because you finally got traded to the friggin' Mets.
Yeah.
That's what, like, I'd be like, you're going to New York. And he's like, yes, here we go. Let's go. We can go contend. He's like, yeah, you're actually going to Queens.
You're going to Long Island.
And he just starts throwing stuff everywhere. He's like, I would rather go on this friggin' plane with Sogards to the Rays. I don't want to go to the stupid Mets team.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then he said, like, oh, I was just, like, telling them how I was displeased with how everything was handled. And he's like, it was an exit interview. And he voices, like, Stroman's really good at the PR stuff. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah. He knows how to work it. He knows how to work a camera and a microphone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't fault him for that.
Well, I can fault him, like, because I think who he is in the clubhouse is completely different to who he is on Twitter.
So, Jake, you're just saying, just quickly here, you liked Marcus Stroman, right?
I did, yeah.
I did as well. Right,
so put that in the book that Jake does like players from Duke.
fair enough. I never once said I didn't like players from Duke. I'm just
I just hate on them a lot.
How about you don't lose in the Sweet 16 and I won't have to hate on you? How's that sound? Fun fact about Jake, and we'll wrap this up. My favorite player growing up was JJ Redick. Because seriously, he looked a lot like me. I let you know. I was a little white guy who could shoot. So, yeah. Anyways, we'll leave it there. Leave the people wanting more. Hear about Jake Kelly's youth basketball career. Anyways, we got our bets coming up next on...
Poor Sports.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left.
know what that means.
Let's
you
go, means? ABBA.
It's time to make that money. Let's do it up. So, it's the betting part of the show. So,
Jake, are you even involved anymore?
Hey, man. Did I win last week?
No, we did futures last week. So, we can still hammer you for being on a cold streak. I, however, have cashed in on yet another one.
What was that?
Last night's, or not last night, Saturday's UFC card, one of my ones from previously, the title fight. I got, this is bad. I'm having a name cramp right now.
A name cramp. No.
A name cramp.
Don't fall apart like this, man.
All right. Well, while Jeremy like works through his way through this little stroke he's having, we all know when we've discussed it. Well, obviously we did futures last week because we're in kind of the dog days of betting. So we were talking earlier about a bet that whenever we were talking about Marcus Stroman, and we were talking off air there for a second. I said, "Well, Jeremy, tell you what." You said that you think that the Jays will make a trade with the Braves before the deadline's over. I think Shapiro and Ross Atkins are a bunch of jerks, so I don't think they will. So my wager to Jeremy, if he's man enough to take it, is that I do not think that the Jays and Braves make a trade before the deadline.
So now Jake's trying to twist my arm, and he's trying all these weird things to get out of his little funk. I accept.
Here we go.
So I love it.
We're going to see if Jake is actually cursed or...
Oh, man, there's a deal that gets made, Jake. Dude.
That's good. And it was Max Holloway that won over Frankie Edgar on Saturday.
Yeah, Max Holloway. So, Jeremy, 20 bucks?
Beverages next time we're in studio. We might pour some stuff here on Pour Sports.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Deal.
Shake hand.
All right, it's official.
It's official. Now, head it over to me, because Lee would like to go last. I'm going Hall of Fame game.
Ooh.
August 1st.
Oh, that makes me
feel
so happy. Football
is back.
Let's go.
I'm fired up. The Denver Broncos take on the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are at home, and they're a 2.5-point dog. Take those 2.5 points and run to the bank. The Atlanta Falcons got this one.
Can you name one player that will be playing in that game?
I think Drew Locke, too, right? I think they're going to see the rookie quarterback get some run with the team.
Fair enough.
And I bet you if he's healthy enough, Calvin Ridley will play for the Falcons.
Okay, fair enough.
Lee?
Okay, so we're just clarifying. So Jake's bet, that's what he's betting this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll let him have anything right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Now, you might have said that August 1st is the Hall of Fame game, and everybody might be excited that might be the best thing, but it's not. It's not the best thing happening that
Come
day.
Come on!
Know why? Because the best sporting event, most underrated sporting event starts that day.
Esports!
Any guesses?
Esports!
No. Jake?
No idea.
The Little League World Series starts.
Okay, that's
August
actually pretty sick.
First, and what I'm going to tell you right now, yes, I'm betting on 12-year-olds. Get off my back, okay? Because I can do what I want, right? So I am betting.
He's a man.
The winner of the Little League World Series this year will be a international team. I don't care who. It could be South Americans that come down every year. It could be the Japanese who foul off 37 foul balls every time they come down here. They are going to win -140. Take it to the bank. I love it. Little League World Series.
That's a bet. You can just bet on international versus American.
Yeah. So it's who do you think will win the Little League World Series? International team or the U.S. team?
Okay. Respect. Yeah, that's fair.
So the U.S. would be at like.
+120.
Nice. I think the U.S. has it. So I have a bet with both of you then. Kinda.
Who do you think will win it on the U.S.? Have you been scouting?
No. I just know whoever wins the World Series, they're not gonna play in the MLB ever.
Oh.
Because they don't, right? The success rate there is very small.
Yeah. But then when you do, holy, do they let you know about it. Every MLB game ever.
It's so boring.
Play. Yeah, for sure.
We ready, guys?
Let's switch it up. It's time for... Oh, my gosh. It's time.
Jake, get out of here. I've had enough of Jake. This is mine.
Who are you?
Yeah! We're going a little different this week, because we have a, not really a first, but we have a big guest coming into studio.
We do, we do.
Garrison was huge a couple episodes ago.
Absolutely.
Really big, yeah.
But
we've got another guest coming in. We're not going to tell you who this guest is.
You have all week to guess, and these are the clues you will be receiving. We're going to go round table style, and we're going to each give our own hints, and then we'll post it up on the IG, Poor_sports, and you can take a shot at who you think our guest this upcoming week is. Guys?
Let's do it.
Jake, would you like to start off with your hint?
No, you go first.
I go first?
Yeah.
This person has played professional sports, more specifically professional hockey, and has been coached under a former Toronto Maple Leafs head coach.
Oh.
Guys?
Do you want me to go now, or Jake, do you want to go last? Do you want to be the anchor here?
Sure, I can go last.
Okay. This player came from the OHL, and more specifically the 2010 OHL draft, and he has more points than one Andreas Anthanasio. He went before
yeah,
in that
points.
priority selection.
Sorry, so what is your clue?
So he was drafted before
In the OHL draft, he was drafted before Anders Anthanasiou of the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay. My turn.
Last but not least.
This player has played over 100 NHL games for two different teams.
I think you mean cumulative. He hasn't played over 100 for each.
Thank you. He has played, in his career, he's played over 100 NHL games, and he has laced them up for two different teams.
Awesome. About to be a third this upcoming season.
Correct.
Oh, another late hint in there. Love it.
Little late hint. So, that's all that you're getting, people. So, that will be posted up on the Instagram, and that person will be our guest next week on Poor Sports.
Hopefully, even in studio. Maybe.
There's a chance, but let's not get the people too hyped up about that.
We worked on Lee's audio last week. We don't want phone guests anymore.
Anyways, friends.
Wait, Jake, you forgot something.
We gotta
announce the winner of last week's.
That's right. Big news. So Lee, you go for it. You know this guy. Talk to the people.
I do know this guy. So last week we had a lot of people through across all social media guess on who the Who Are You was. And let's get a drum roll on who it is. It was Julio Jones.
Julio Jones.
So credit to both Jake and I on the pod for guessing it.
Yeah, good work, boys.
And we actually have a winner. Random name. Congratulations to Casey Boutette. Casey Boutette's going to be our first giveaway winner that we've ever had. So put that one on the board.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's
congratulations.
Congratulations, Casey. And we're going to be doing this definitely in the future.
More frequently?
Yeah, more frequently for sure. So see, obviously, you definitely want to be following us on poor_sports. So anyways, guys, I think we're good for today.
Yeah, another pod in the books.
Not that I couldn't sit here and talk forever, but yeah, thanks so much for listening, everyone.
And I'm in studio next week. All three of us live studio.
So you'll definitely, with our guest and with Lee being in studio, you're not going to want to miss.
It's must listen.
Absolutely. So thanks again for listening to us, and we'll catch you next week on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
I could feel your heartbeat calling for us. Listen to your